Hey, it's Kitty, and I'm reading chapter 3 of Sex for One, The Joy of Self-Loving by Betty Dodson, PhD. And before I start, I just put on, I got a couple of new things. One is clitoral balm, which is like this kind of like cream gel that you put on your clit, and I just put it on for the first time. I've never tried it before, and it's getting all warm feeling. And then the other thing is I got a new kitty toy that is like it's like you put it on your clit and it's like a vacuum cleaner toy. So I'm gonna turn that on, and I tried this toy the first time last night, and I like can only handle the very lowest setting. So I wonder if you can hear it. Probably you can. Can you hear it? Okay. So I just like when I'm putting it on, I'm like using my, I'm holding my toy in my right hand. I'm using my left hand, my fingers to spread my labia apart. And then you literally, it's like, really like a little suction thing. So I'm just putting it right on my clit. Fuck. It's like, there's no way I'm gonna make it through the end of this chapter. Okay, I'm gonna read fast. Oh, fuck. Okay. My first post-marital relationship was a sexual turning point. Blake was an exciting man. At age 42, with enough money to retire, he'd wrenched himself away from his workaholic ways as a professor and publisher to seek pleasure and peace of mind. Soon after his divorce, he quit therapy, came off addictive pills prescribed by his doctor, and stopped drinking his ritual martini before dinner. At the time we met, I'd been a vegetarian for several years and didn't drink alcohol either. We started mainlining sex. We were both delighted with our intense, experimental love affair. Good sex quickly changed my image of ecstasy. In the past, I'd been grateful for one orgasm during lovemaking. What you don't know, you don't miss. Oh my fuck. Okay. Fuck. Okay. Oh my god. Whoa. Nope, I don't know that I'm going to be able to read this. Fuck. Okay. Now I was having several orgasms, and their intensity actually alarmed me. After every big one, I needed reassurance from Blake. Did he think the neighbors could hear me? Was he sure I wasn't damaging my body? Was it really okay with him when I carried on like that? It was my introduction to pleasure anxiety, the fear of having too much of a good thing. He told me I was sexually responsive woman of his dreams. It was a thrill to be able to talk honestly and openly about our sex. Our exploratory conversations quickly got onto the subject of marriage, monogamy, and sexual repression. I told him about my guilt-ridden marital masturbation, and he told me about his. He talked about the toning down of sex that had evolved during his 17-year marriage. Lovemaking had become totally predictable, and the sexual constraints and lack of communication had also been depressing. He was sneaking extra. Fuck. Oh, fuck. Okay. Oh. He was sneaking extra orgasms by masturbating in the bathroom. Though he longed for sexual variety, he had agreed to be monogamous, and he was too idealistic to seek extramarital sex. His only alternative was masturbation, which would have been okay if he could have done it joyfully. But like me, he'd felt sick with frustration and guilt, and his self-esteem was eroded by this process. As his self-esteem was eroded by this process, he began to regard himself as a dirty old man. Through our discussions, I began to understand how our whole anti-sexual social system represses us. We couldn't even touch our own bodies for sexual gratification without feeling sick or guilty. That realization made me so angry that I resolved to banish sexual guilt from my mind once and for all. It would no longer be part of my life. I intended to explore sex passionately and in depth without the interference of church or state. The best way to learn about sex and pleasure was to have a lover with an open mind. Blake and I quickly moved beyond traditional sex roles. With our healthy inquisitiveness, we both experimented with being receptive and assertive by being on the top or bottom. And we took turns doing each other with oral sex and erotic handjobs. It was a special meeting of minds as well as bodies when we got together. What a joy it was to find a man who agreed with me about sex. We started gathering bits of sex information that supported our ideas about the importance of masturbation. Masters and Johnson had published their findings on female sexuality, which demolished Freud's idea of mature vaginal orgasms. They found all orgasms centered in the clitoris, and that categorizing orgasms as clitoral or vaginal was incorrect. The controversy of clitoral versus vaginal orgasm was not an issue for me because I was getting both kinds of stimulation at the same time. As I lay on my back, Blake would enter me from an angle while laying on his side. With his free hand, he delicately With his free hand, he delicately massaged my clitoris with moistened fingertips while we did a slow, sensuous fuck. It was the best of both worlds. During another one of our erotic interludes, he placed my hand on my clitoris, encouraging me to stimulate myself. Another sexual breakthrough. Now we could both concentrate on our own sexual movements and sensations. I could control my buildup by slowing down or moving faster. We were having bigger and better orgasms, and sometimes we even came together, which was fun. Now that it wasn't a hard and fast rule. Pleasure was begetting pleasure. With all that wonderful sex, I was surprised to discover I was masturbating more, not less, whenever we weren't together. We both knew that masturbation had saved our sexual sanity, and we vowed that we'd never again consider it a second-rate sexual activity. Although we'd decided that masturbation would be a natural part of our sexual exchange, actually sharing it for the first time was difficult for both of us. After all, masturbation had been a private activity our entire lives. Naturally, this new kind of exposure made me feel very vulnerable. Once I made it clear that I wasn't dependent on him for my orgasm, I was confronting the possibility of upsetting his romantic image. I felt tentative about taking such a big risk with sexual honesty. At that point, any criticism from him would have sent me scurrying right back into the old missionary position. First, I decided I had to get up enough nerve to watch myself masturbate in front of a mirror alone. When I saw I didn't look funny or strange, but simply sexual and intense, I was amazed. Until that moment, I had no visual image of myself as a sexual being. Oh, that's how I feel right now. Like, seeing the pictures of myself and the videos of myself masturbating, the ones that I share with, the ones that I share with you guys on Reddit. Oh, God. This This is a serious little toy. Anyways, how she's saying, like, she didn't know what she looked like until she saw it, and then she was surprised that she was just sexual and intense. That's how I kind of feel looking at myself, too. And I feel like this is one of those things where I haven't admitted it because I'm like, oh, that's. They're gonna think I'm weird or like vain or something. And every time I do that and then I just admit like what's true, I feel like I get a lot of people saying like, oh, Kitty, that's silly that you were embarrassed about that or shy about that because it's actually kind of hot. Oh, fuck. This is such an intense little kitty toy. Oh, fuck. Ooh. I adjusted it into a different position, and I think that is probably where it's supposed to go. I took it off for a minute. I need a break. Like dripping. But anyways, is that I actually watch my own videos a lot and get turned on, watching myself get turned on. Almost like one, I like how it looks, seeing myself being sexual is helping me, like, see myself as sexual, do you know what I mean? I feel like that's silly. Anyway, I should keep reading, I'm getting off on a tangent, I'm sorry. Okay. With this new erotic information, I was able to make the breakthrough with Blake. We celebrated our sexual independence day by showing each other that we could have first-rate orgasms by ourselves. We both loved it. Masturbating together demystified the romantic image of orgasm, and I stepped down from my pedestal to become a sexual equal. New discoveries and insights came quickly with this freedom. Being able to masturbate together made all sorts of experimentation possible. From watching, he learned which patterns of manipulation and contact were best for me. I learned what he liked by watching him. Without the interference of our own responses, we were able to observe each other carefully and in detail. We could see the total body involvement in sexual buildup and orgasmic release. It was a home study program in human sexual response. Psychologically, our intimacy deepened. There was an even greater freedom to be more honest about our feelings. Perhaps a fuller recognition of each other's humanness brought about by the sharing of this basic sexual activity. There certainly was an increased feeling of comfort. For example, my sexual buildup to orgasm usually took nearly 30 minutes, and I would often get hung up worrying that he might be getting tired. Now that we both knew I could continue by myself, the pressure was off both of us. I stopped trying to hurry up and come. With the liberation of our masturbation, we no longer had to conform to each other's sexual needs. If one of us didn't feel like having sex, the other was free to masturbate, which often turned on the one who hadn't been in the mood in the first place. He was able to tell me there were times when he actually preferred to masturbate rather than to have intercourse or oral. He began to realize how much pressure he'd been under to perform sexually. It had been nearly impossible for him to say no thank you when sex was offered. The best way to avoid sex and save face was to start an argument. But now that he was more liberated, he was overcoming his socially conditioned fixation that fucking was the only, quote, real kind of sex. Honest to goodness sharing was the essence of intimacy. We felt more at ease, and sex was a lot more fun. Becoming responsible for our own orgasms was a basic statement about individuality and equality. It established us as people who had a choice when it came to lovemaking. We were moving away from romantic sex toward the infinite delights of erotic loving. Society has been slow to provide any positive images for divorced people, single parents, surviving partners, or older gay people who end up living alone. The idealized image of the young romantic couple whose love for each other mysteriously conquers all will get us through our 20s, but like Romeo and Juliet, it helps to die young. Getting married and staying together forever may work for some people. For millions of others, it doesn't. There needs to be more support for the positive aspects of two people getting apart. Aw, that's like me. We should be congratulated. Divorce doesn't... Oh, I'm gonna get emotional here. Divorce doesn't mean failure, and living alone doesn't necessarily mean loneliness. Two of the happiest days of my life were the day I got married Two of the happiest days of my life were the day I got married and the day I got divorced. I'm gonna turn off the kitty toy because I am wanting to just read for a sec. And my clit is fucking swollen up like a giant little tiny cute hot air balloon. Okay. Blake and I have continued to be an important part of each other's lives. We've had our share of power struggles and passionate arguments, but our respect for each other has always pulled us through the rough spots until we've reached the place where we could agree to disagree. Although we've never lived together, in many ways I feel as though we're a long-term married couple who no longer have, quote, regular sex, but deeply value our intimate connection and cherish the memories of all the hot sex we once had together. We both love to masturbate. We love to talk about sex. We share the details of our sex lives. And of course, we love reminiscing about the sexual revolution we shared during the 70s. Over the decades, we've played many roles for each other, but the one that has endured is being, quote, good old buddies who are always there for each other. Our meaningful friendship is a different kind of love story. Aww. We have been so brainwashed by romantic love that when I talk about the importance of couples continuing to masturbate alone and learning to share masturbation together, some assume that I'm against, quote, regular sex. Not true. I'm all for any sexual activity that makes both partners happy. What I don't support is, quote, compulsive intercourse as the only way to be sexual. Instead of assuming the word sex means a penis inside a vagina, we need to realize that there are an infinite number of ways to express our sexuality. Here's an example of how a limited definition of sex can damage a relationship. A woman who'd been married for 10 years and never had an orgasm from intercourse finally learned to come with masturbation. This is not unusual. Many women find it impossible to have an orgasm from vaginal penetration. When vaginal penetration is the only form of stimulation. At first, her husband tried stimulating her clitoris manually, but within no time he began drifting and losing interest. Their solution was that after he had his orgasm, she would do herself with a massager while he held her in his arms. Aww. However, he was soon back to his old pattern of going to sleep right after he came. Oh, no. Having her orgasm with him snoring made her resentful. Here she was doing herself, providing his orgasm, and he wasn't even awake for hers. When she suggested that they occasionally masturbate together for a little variety, his response was, "Why would I want to do myself when I prefer coming inside you?" Ugh. Rude. His sexual rigidity eventually led to a divorce. Good. Other couples tell me how much freedom they feel in their sex lives once they've been able to masturbate together. I say it again and again, how the simple act of sharing our self-pleasuring practices with our lovers, wives, and husbands reduces sexual inhibitions. Some have said all sexual inhibitions were eliminated once they could be open enough to masturbate with each other. They no longer had anything to conceal. The most consistent problem arises when one or the other partner has a reservation about exploring this kind of intimacy. Many women are afraid that the suggestion of masturbation will make their partners feel sexually rejected, and women have traditionally been conditioned to protect the male ego. Oof. That is a line that is so true. I'm reading it again. Many women are afraid that the suggestion of masturbation will make their partners feel sexually rejected, and women have traditionally been conditioned to protect the male ego. The other classic response is the fear of being abandoned by a partner for wanting to do something that he might think is, quote, too kinky. But it's worth taking the risk. If your partner is that set in his ways, breaking up might be the best thing in the world. A sensitive man could also fear suggesting sharing masturbation because the woman may think there's something wrong with her if he doesn't want to have intercourse. The worst case scenario is when both partners secretly would like to share self-pleasuring, but because they're convinced that the other would reject the idea, it never gets discussed. Again, it's worth taking the risk. Communicate with each other. Another huge benefit of sharing masturbation is all the things you can learn when watching each other's techniques. It's the best way in the world to learn more about each other's sexual response. Adding orgasmic manual sex to the bedroom means also providing more sexual variety and much more playfulness, which is the essence of an erotic image of loving. That is the end of chapter 3.